Today, I want to announce the results of the Department of the Army force structure decisions. I think, as all of you know, the Army is in the process of undergoing one of the largest organizational changes probably since World War II. As we transition from a force at war, our decisions are in line with the fiscal year 13 budget submission, which implements a $487 billion reduction in DoD funding based on the Budget Control Act of 2011. It began in fiscal year 2013 and extends over 10 years. The Army share of this reduction is approximately $170 billion. As a result of budget cuts, the drawdown of forces in Afghanistan and Iraq, and the 2012 Defense Strategic Guidance, the Army is reducing the authorized end strength of the active Army from a wartime high of 570,000 to 490,000. The Army National Guard will go from 358,000 to 350,000, a reduction of 8,000 soldiers from the Army National Guard, but this will be achieved without any force structure changes in the National Guard. The Army Reserve is foregoing a planned 1,000 soldier growth and will remain at 205,000. The reduction of the 80,000 soldiers out of the active component is a 14% reduction. This reduction will be completed by the end of fiscal year 2017. And I want to be clear that we are taking these actions as a result of the Budget Control Act of 2011. This end strength and force structure reduction predates sequestration. So as sequestration moves on, there will be a requirement potentially to take out more force structure out of the Army. If sequestration continues into fiscal year 2014, Army reductions to end strength, force structure, and basing announced today will be only the first step. Our decisions on where we would make these reductions based on a number of criteria, which include the ability to train our forces, our ability to protect power, provide for soldiers and families' well-being, the ability to expand and regenerate forces, and an appropriate geographic distribution. To also include environmental and socioeconomic impacts, cost, and our institutional alignment with the 2012 Strategic Defense Guidance, including the rebalance to the Pacific. Based on extensive analysis, the lessons of 12 years of war, and the need to increase the Army's operational capability and flexibility, the Army is also reorganizing our brigade combat teams, which will reduce the overall number of headquarters while sustaining as much combat capabilities as possible. In other words, we are increasing our tooth-to-tail ratio. As part of the reorganization of each brigade combat team, we will add a third maneuver battalion, an additional engineer and fires capability to each of our armor and infantry brigade combat teams in order to make them more lethal, more flexible, and more agile. In order to do this, while keeping our force structure in line with our end strength reductions, we'll reorganize our 45 brigade combat teams into 33 brigade combat teams. As we inactivate brigade combat teams, we'll reinvest some of the soldiers' equipment and support personnel into the remaining brigade combat teams. We conduct an extensive analysis that included 6,500 hours of simulated combat in 34 separate scenarios, and extensive interviews with our commanders. We also conducted a programmatic environmental assessment that looked at both the environmental and socioeconomic impacts of these reductions. Additionally, we conducted listening sessions at 30 installations with soldiers, families, local leaders, and the business community to better understand the impacts of all of our potential decisions. We also took steps to ensure we were being prudent fiscally in this decision. For example, as part of our cost calculations, the Army had deferred $788 million in military construction projects until decision on force structure reductions were made. As we organize our brigade combat teams, we expect to cancel almost $400 million of these projects permanently. The Army will inactivate a total of 12 brigade combat teams, two overseas stationed at Baumholder and Grafenwehr, Germany, will complete their inactivation in fiscal year 2013, leaving two brigade combat teams in Europe to fulfill strategic commitments. The remaining 10 will come out at each of the following 10 U.S. installations between now and the end of fiscal year 2017. Fort Bliss, Texas, Fort Bragg, North Carolina, Fort Campbell, Kentucky, Fort Carson, Colorado, Fort Drum, New York, Fort Hood, Texas, Fort Knox, Kentucky, Fort Riley, Kansas, Fort Stewart, Georgia, and Joint Base Lewis-McChord in Washington State. In the future, we will announce an additional BCT to be inactivated, which will bring the number of BCTs to 32, but that decision is yet to be made. As we work through this drawdown and inactivation of units, we will maintain our communications with our congressional officials and local communities to ensure a smooth, deliberate, and transparent process. Again, I want to emphasize that these reductions do not reflect reductions due to sequestration. Full sequestration could require another significant reduction in active guard and reserve force structure, as much as 100,000 combined. At this time, I'd be happy to take your questions.
Okay. General, a couple things. Is there a total cost that you have, or even some sort of approximate cost for how much this is going to take? And you have said over time that you had thought you'd be able to do most of this through voluntary reductions. What's your current assessment on that? And particularly as you look ahead to sequester, how much you said, just said sort of 100,000, does that then get you to the point where you probably wouldn't be able to do that all voluntarily?
Yeah, thanks. First, on the costs, as I mentioned on the MILCON costs, that's the major cost is MILCON. And so we had about $700 million in MILCON costs that were out there for the whole Army over the next 4, 5, 6 years. So we've now been able to reduce that by $400 million based on these decisions. So in my mind, it's an overall reduction in the cost. We'll still have some MILCON projects, but those are things that are already planned inside of the Army as we go through our continued modernization of facilities. In terms of bringing the force down, so far we have been able, during this reduction of 80,000, do almost all of it through natural attrition. However, we will announce, I think we've already announced, or will announce this year, that we're going to selectively release some colonels and lieutenant colonels. And then next year, for a certain number of year groups, we'll select to choose to release some captains on year groups that are over strength. Officers are managed by year. We have some years that are over strength, and we will reduce those, and we'll have to do boards in order to reduce those. That will happen next year. But the large majority will be able to be done by natural attrition.
Just as a follow-up, do you know about how many that would have to be released?
I don't. For the colonels, lieutenant colonels, it's around 200 to 300. For captains, it's maybe around 500. But we'll get to the numbers, okay? If we go to full sequestration, we're going to have to do more forced reductions out of the personnel.
General Sidney Freeberg, Breaking Defense, sir. Let me ask, this has come very, and basically almost entirely on the active component. And we say eventually the RC's time may come. What are the factors there? Both political, which you can't ignore with the Guard, yeah, and practical in terms of why you've hit the AC so hard, and what happens when you go to the RC bucket?
So, if you remember history here, as we had to increase the size of the Army when we were involved in Iraq and Afghanistan, the large majority of the increase happened in the active component. We were at actually 482,500 in 2001. We grew to 570,000. So as we reviewed the new defense strategy, we believed that it was more appropriate, since we were out of Iraq and we were reducing our commitment to Afghanistan, that we in fact can reduce the active component to 490. So we think based on strategy, that's appropriate. As we move forward, we have to do more of a balance because, in my mind, there's a role that we have the National Guard, Army Reserve play, and the active component, and we have to make sure we keep those roles in line with each other. We'll still reduce quite a bit out of the active if we have to do more, but there will also be some out of the Guard and Reserve. Now, it'll maintain that balance that I think we need in order to maintain an Army that can respond quickly, but also have the depth of response, if necessary, from the Guard and Reserve.
Next question. General, it seems like this is fairly divided between light and heavy brigades. Can you talk a little bit about how the strategy influenced what brigades you chose to produce and how that may change in the future under
So although I've mentioned the number of brigades are going to reduce, there still will probably be some minor adjustments to the type of brigades. So I think what you're seeing up there right now is 12 armor, 14 infantry, and 7 striker brigades. My guess is over the next couple of years that will adjust a little bit. And my guess is we'll go to something like 10 armor, 14 IBCTs, and 8 SBCTs in the end. But that'll be an adjustment that comes later as we move equipment around. And we've done that based on analysis of what would be needed in our contingency operational plans and how we see our rotational requirements that could come up in the future, whether it be to the Middle East or the Pacific. And these are the amount we need in order to meet those commitments.
So in the future, a little bit more reduction on the armor
That's
side.
That's right.
General Tony Bertucco, Inside Defense. To what extent will the redesign impact the stated acquisition objective for things like the ground combat vehicle, the joint light tactical vehicle? Do you need less now?
We do. So for all of our systems, it'll be less systems that we need. So it'll reduce our ability. It'll reduce the cost of us fielding and to our armor brigades and our infantry brigades.
Do you know what the decrease is or when?
I don't, because we're still working through that. As we submit our budget for next year, the 15-19 budget, you'll start to see some of those things.
Have you done any, or has the Army done any assessments of sort of the impact this could and will have on local communities, like how many potentially civilian jobs will be lost at the bases and surrounding them and local impacts? I suspect the Hill, you've heard from the Hill about this.
We have. That was part of this. We did a socioeconomic impact study. So as you notice, we've spread it out quite good. And one of the reasons we did that was, first, it allows us to have diversity across the United States. So we maintain that we have forces on the West Coast, forces in the Midwest, and forces on the East Coast. And with the way we took the brigades out, limits the amount of impact. The only outlier is Fort Knox, because there's only one brigade there, and we are taking a brigade out of Fort Knox. And that decision was made because of it scored the lowest in terms of military value on our analysis of training and other things. So that's why we decided to take that one out.
And do you have any numbers, even estimates of how many civilian jobs could be lost, whether it's on the base or
not? Well, so, you know, civilians, what happens is we have a baseline of civilian jobs that really is required no matter what the capability, how many you have, because it's basic foundational requirements that we have for family programs, for soldier programs. So the increase for numbers is a little bit, but not a lot. So there'll be some that comes down with us, and there will be a commensurate civilian drawdown with the military, and we're working our way through that.
General, thank you. Raghu Goel from Asia Today. My question is, as far as this announcement is concerned, how the relations will affect with other countries in Asia, especially with India, because so much is going on now between U.S. and India. Now, Secretary was in India, and also Vice President going there, and also, at the same time, Taliban are still now again active in Afghanistan. So how are you going to affect?
Well, a couple of things. First, I believe my assessment is with the forces we have left over in this, we have more than enough to meet the requirements that we need to respond. If I could just comment on this morning, this attack in Afghanistan, I'll just go off a little bit on a tangent. I would tell you is another example of great success. The Afghan security forces did an incredible job of repelling that attack and killing the attackers this morning. It's another great example of the progress I think the Afghan security force made, although there's some concern that the Taliban is still able to do those type of attacks.
Because of U.S. has announced that U.S. will leave Afghanistan in 2014, and they are sending some kind of messages?
Well, actually, we've said we're going to remain committed to Afghanistan through 2024. We still haven't made a decision yet on how many troops will be left after 2014.
Richard Sands, Army Times. To add a maneuver battalion to each each succeeding brigade, I assume you're going to take the two battalions from the 4th at Fort Hood,
move them over? Yeah, so I'm going to use Fort Bragg. So Fort Bragg, two of the infantry battalions in this brigade will move over to two of these. The Rista battalion that's there will be converted to an infantry battalion. And what happens is you lose the brigade headquarters, you lose the fires battalion, you lose the support battalion, and there's another mix of engineer and other capability. Those battalions go away. But that capability increases a little bit inside of those brigades.
How many soldiers will have to PCS as a result of this?
So for example, 3,500 in this brigade, mm-hmm. 2,100 will be reinvested. So 1,400 will be reassigned. They still could be reassigned onto Fort Bragg and other places, depending on our manning percentages.
Hi, General Christina Long, Washington Times. If sequestration is enduring, what sorts of further reductions are you looking at? Have planners begun to look at that?
Oh, yeah, we've looked at it, and, you know, we're going through a process with the Secretary of Defense. We looked at several different ways to do this. You know, it's always about capacity versus capability. And so we run course of action, we keep more capacity, we run capabilities that keep more options that keep more capability. So that depends on what we keep. So we're still working our way through that. And in the end, the bottom line is we want to make sure we sustain enough capability to deter. We want to make sure we sustain enough capability to be able to conduct our contingency operations. And we're still working through those numbers.
Possibly a further reduction of brigade combat.
Yes. With sequestration, if we go through a full sequestration, there's going to be another reduction in brigade. There's no way around it. And there'll be reductions in aviation. There'll be reductions in other capabilities as well.
Well, that was my question. With these cuts that are on the table now, does the Army still need the 13 aviation brigades, or will changes be needed there?
With this structure now, we're sustaining 13 aviation brigades. If full sequestration continues, we will have to take a look at the number of aviation brigades. It'll probably reduce. We have a formula that goes with the number of battalions, how much aviation we need to support those battalions. And in that formula, we need 13 in this scenario.
General, will these reductions have any effect on overseas quick reaction readiness with the reductions in Germany and Italy, in Europe and AFRICOM, for example?
So the brigades remaining, there'll be a brigade left in Italy, one brigade in Germany. But we're doing regionally aligned forces. So we've aligned a brigade from the United States to Africa. So 2nd Brigade of the 1st ID is aligned to Africa. And in fact, they have soldiers in Africa now conducting operations. So that's how it'll work. We will align forces from the states to the combatant commands to make up for this. We're also aligning a brigade with the NATO response force, which will do training with our NATO partners to continue to train them and keep interoperability relationships with them, and that will happen as well as we do this. So you'll have units from the states who assist in Germany, assist in the Pacific, assist in Africa, and they will be aligned, and they'll work very carefully and closely with the combatant commanders.
But are you concerned that them not being there physically in the region hurts the readiness?
Yeah, if you look in Hawaii, if you look in the Pacific, you know, we still have quite a bit of forces in Alaska, Hawaii, Fort Lewis, and they're all focused towards the Pacific region. And so we'll maintain this. My issue is, you know, with the budget issues we've had with continuing resolutions in the budget, it's eroding our readiness. That's a different question than what we're talking about here. That's why we need a budget. Because if we don't get a budget, it's going to start hurting the readiness of all of our units as we move forward.
Lalit Shah from PTF Press, First of India. First, a follow-up on your question, answer on Taliban. Given the response of Afghan armed forces on the attack in Kabul today, are you now more confident that Afghanistan will be more secure with the ANSF in the
land? I am. I see it as a positive sign as we continue to train and turn more responsibility over to them. I'm very encouraged by that. We still have some work to do, but I think by the end of 2014, they are going to be ready to protect the people of Afghanistan.
And secondly, in this restructuring, what impact it would have on your presence in the Asia Pacific region? I think you have given a sense that there will be no change in the number of forces in the region.
In the Asia Pacific, right, that's right.
And finally, you are traveling, I think, to India later this year. Can you give us a sense of what are your intentions?
Well, I'm going in July. I'm going to visit the Army. It's a very important relationship for us. So I'll travel there, and I'll meet with the head of the Army and other defense officials, and I'll have a chance to go around and visit the Indian Army, and we're going to continue to work and build where we have common interests, and we'll discuss many issues that we have in common to help each other grow as armies, and I'm looking forward to that very much.
Thank Thank you.
Hi, General. John Harper with the Asahi Shimbun. Will these reductions affect the Army rebalance to the Pacific at all in terms of engagement activities with partners and allies or any other way?
No, because I think, as I've said, we've sustained all of our commitment here. The problem we had over the last 4 or 5 years is all of these units here were in Iraq or Afghanistan. They're now back. And we've kept them here so they can continue to do the engagement that we want to do so seriously in the Asia-Pacific region.
General, I'm Carl Osgood with Executive Intelligence Review. Just to follow up with the answer you just gave and what you've been saying about this plan meeting, you can still meet the Army's commitments under this plan. What happens to the Army's engagement plans under sequestration?
Let me talk about it in terms of the Defense Strategic Guidance of 2012. This force structure can meet the Defense Strategic Guidance that was outlined last year. When we go to sequestration, we're going to have to do another analysis of whether we can still meet that strategy or not. And that's what we have to work through. And we've been talking about that and working through that now. And depending on where it ends up will depend on whether we think we can still meet the strategy or not.
I have one off-topic question, if you don't mind.
Sure.
In wake of the Ed Snowden surveillance leaks, are you at all concerned about how terrorists abroad, terrorist groups, might be changing their tactics in terms of communications? And are you seeing that already? Are you seeing any changes in the way they communicate now that they have this broader scope and understanding of how we watch them?
I can't say whether I've seen any changes. Obviously, there's always concern that when information like this is leaked, what's the impact it has? What's the impact it has on our operational forces deployed forward? What's the impact it has on our ability to continue to conduct operations around the world? And I always worry about the protection of our soldiers who are in 150 countries around the world. So I'm very concerned about this leak. And it's not just about leaking information from my viewpoint. It's much bigger than that. It puts American soldiers at risk. It takes actually soldiers, sailors, airmen, Marines at risk, who are overseas conducting operations.
We have time for one more question.
General Ordinaire, how far into 2014 does sequestration have to go before you have to start slicing?
Well, I think, in 2014, I think it has to do with the impact on our 15 to 19 budget. That's when we're going to have to start making more changes, when we put our 15-19 budget. If assuming full sequestration.
So you can get through 2014 with full sequestration?
Well, I think the problem we have is it's going to be hard. 14 is going to be very difficult with sequestration. But I can't go any faster than I'm going, so I can't impact it. I can't really impact it until 15-19 budget. If we believe full sequestration is going to happen, we would probably speed up some of these reductions.
That's the question you have. When do you expect this to be completed?
Right now, end of fiscal year, September of 17.
So you could do the end of the drawdown.
So if it says it's going to go throughout the entire period, we would have to do a course of action that maybe speeds this up and makes it happen faster. Because that garners us more savings by doing it faster. And that'll be a decision that we might have to make at some other time.
Quick clarification. What happens to Fort Knox? Is this a BRAC candidate,
no,
or is there
no.
plenty of other stuff?
You know, we just invested our human resource command here with 4,000 additional civilians. So we need Fort Knox, and we have our recruiting command there. So, no.
It's just not a training
for
ground
us,
for a brigade.
It was not an optimal place to put a brigade combat team.
Certain closing comments.
Okay, well, thanks. After this... General Campbell, the Vice Chief of Staff of the Army, General Huggins, the G3, and Major General Murray, who's the Director of our Force Management, will be stick around and then get even more detail for anybody who's interested. They've been working this for me. I appreciate you being here. I just want to finish by saying in the Army, we've been talking about this for a while, so we knew this was coming. I know in the local communities it'll have its impact, but we've done our best to reach out to them so they understand what the impacts are. We've tried to make it as small impact as possible on as many communities as we could. The thing I'll just say as we go forward is I'm still incredibly proud of the great soldiers that we have and leaders that do great things every day. I'm going to leave here, actually head out to Fort Lewis and then to Fort Carson over the next 3 days. As I continue to talk to our soldiers, our families, and our community leaders about the changes that we're seeing in our Army. But the response so far has been very, very good from everyone. So thank you very much. I appreciate you being here.